have your Bibles tonight. 2 Kings chapter 3. I want to draw your attention tonight. I'm going to give you the outline, sort of a little review from last week, but I think it's so important. Notice 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria. The 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, he reigned 12 years. So keep in mind, you have your Jehoshaphat's reigning. He reigns 30-something years. And then you have Ahab. Ahab had two sons, one Ahaziah. We studied about him. He was wicked, just like his father. And God killed him. He fell through the lattice work, and he died. And then his brother, Jehoram, takes over. His brother goes and kills all of his other brothers so he can be king. And so now that's the king that's in this story, Ahab's son. Now watch. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 2, and he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you stop that, you said, well, he's just like Ahab. But no. But not like his father and like his mother. His mother, Jezebel. So he was not as bad as they were. And notice, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. So you'll notice that he decides, I'm not gonna be wicked like my parents and worship Baal. I know God hates that. I saw Elijah draw down fire from heaven. I'm gonna get rid of Baal. So he was not as wicked as his parents. Then you'll notice verse 3. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not thereon. What Jeroboam did is he made a golden calf in Bethel and Dan. And said, folks, you bow down and worship this golden calf. And so he worshiped the golden calf. It was a little better than worshiping Baal. And he was considered to be not as evil. Now, I want you to notice an outline. One, we must be careful of partial obedience or comparing ourselves to others in a spiritual way. You never, ever say, I am not as bad as somebody else. That's a wicked statement. Notice, if you would, A, Jehoram put away Baal worship. B, in spite of this, he worshiped the golden calves of Jeroboam. C, compared to Ahab and Jezebel, his parents, he looked better spiritually. And you may look better than your neighbor. You might look better than somebody at work. And you might feel better about yourself. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You'll notice D, however, God called him evil. And remember, learn that principle tonight. If you look at someone and say, I'm not as bad as they are, God still looks at us and says, you're still evil. You're still wicked. So you and I don't get a chance to compare ourselves to other people and say, well, when he does something that's wrong, I'm not that bad. God doesn't look at that. He still looks at us and says, you're evil in heart. You've done the wrong thing. Now notice, if you would, D, God called him evil. He felt better about himself regarding his religion, but he had no personal fellowship with God. He had no connection with the Lord. So it didn't matter if he worshiped Baal or if he worshiped whatever God, Ashtaroth, or if he worshiped, you name the God. If it wasn't Jehovah God, God was angry with him. Notice E, here's the principle we got to learn. We should never think doing less evil is more pleasing to God than doing more evil. God wants us to do right according to his words. We are never, ever, ever to think, well, I didn't do that bad. It's a terrible statement. I didn't do as bad as she did. You can never win an argument with God, period, by saying, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. We never win an argument with God, period. We never should argue with God. But you can't look at the Lord and say, well, Lord, I see what they did, and I'm not as bad as they are. Doesn't that count for something? God says, no. I want people to do the right thing. I don't want you to compare yourself among yourselves. Put it in the outline, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 18. Comparing themselves among themselves, they were not wise. And he says, you don't look at that, you look at the Lord, because the Bible says the Lord is the one that commends us. He's the one that approves us, no one else. So we don't look at the standard of other people, we look at the standard that God wants for us. Now, learn a second lesson from this passage about friendships. Now, we can look at it and say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and God says, don't think that way. Think about I'm either doing right or I'm doing wrong. But I'm not in the middle. I'm not thinking less. I'm better than they are because I do less evil. Can never think that thought. Now notice Romans number 2 in the outline. We must change after we see our mistakes. Spiritually, Elisha tried to correct the three kings. We're going to read it in a minute. And teach Jehoshaphat about his wrong friendships and testimony. Now, let's get the story going here. Notice 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 4. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master. He was a great shepherd. And he rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs. That was his tax. He had to pay 100,000 lambs. Well, he got tired of that. So when Ahab died, he said, I'm not going to pay his son. His son's not that brave. He won't go to war. And so I'm going to stop paying the tax. I am not going to pay any more tax. And so then you'll see that Jehoram in verse 6, and King Jehoram went out of the Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. When you number Israel, you're getting ready to go to war. Verse 7. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me to battle. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Now, this is a strange statement coming from Jehoshaphat. Now, I want you to notice a few things about Jehoshaphat. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 32. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 32. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 32. I want you to notice. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now look over in chapter 19, one chapter over. Verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Now, this is after he had fought with Ahab. Remember, Ahab tricked him. Said, would you come fight with me? He said, sure. And he disguised himself, and God allowed a stray arrow to kill Ahab. But Jehoshaphat almost got killed because Ahab set him up. You wear all your kingly robes, and the enemy came after him only. And when they found that it wasn't Ahab, they went their way. He almost got killed because he picked the wrong friend. Now, friendships, now we're going to learn. I want to take just a minute and take you some steps of friendship. But we've got to learn a lesson here tonight. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. Here's the preacher. And said to King Jehoshaphat, this is right after he comes back. And he's almost gotten killed in battle. Ahab did get killed. Notice the saying. I have it underlined in the Bible. Shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there is good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Now, I don't know if you thought about this or not. We are to pick friends that want to do the right thing. We are supposed to do the right thing. But do you realize who God has to work with? has to work with us. And regularly, we do the wrong thing by choice. So God, you'll notice Jehoshaphat, he did that which was right mostly. But he picked the wrong friends, and God was angry with him. But God said, nevertheless, there's some good things found in you. Tonight, do you want to be a nevertheless Christian? A Christian that God looks at and says, well, you know, Dave Pittman did that. He shouldn't have done that. I'm upset with him. Nevertheless, he does some things right. Or do you want to be the kind of Christian that God says, oh, you're loved in my sight. I'm so proud of you. Well done. Most Christians in Scripture are nevertheless Christians. Well, Jehoshaphat was a nevertheless king. Now, after this, he makes a deal with Ahaziah, Ahab's first son. They build ships together and they're all destroyed. God says, I've told you, I'm going to curse you if you hang around Ahab and his family. So he almost gets killed. He loses his ships, great financial loss. And now, notice if you would, Jehoram comes to him. It's the third time and says, hey, Moab has rebelled. Will you fight with me? And he says, notice if you would, this is 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 7. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Now, then he says, but hey, let's check with God. Notice verse number 11. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him, of the Lord by him? So he just says, sure, I'm like you are. And then he says, oh, let's go check with God. You and I need to learn to check with the Lord first. And say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I want to honor you. Now, there are some things that we know we don't even have to check with the Lord for. Lord, I'm in class. I need to make a good grade. I don't know the answer to those three questions, but I know Johnny, he's real smart. Lord, is it okay if I just get three answers off his paper? You can't even pray about that. That's wicked. You can't, as a teenager, as a child, say, Lord, my parents aren't treating me right. I want to know if I can just sass them. The Lord says, you can't pray about doing wrong. Well, that's exactly what Joshua is trying to do here. Go check with the prophet. Now understand, God has already spared his life when his friend set him up to die. God has already taken away a lot of his finances when all the ships were destroyed. And now the third son comes and says, hey, will you go to battle with me? And he says, my people are like your people. He just doesn't have the ability to say no to the wrong friends. Now, notice what happens. I want you to see this in the outline. A, Moab rebelled after Ahab's death. We know that. B, Jehoram talked Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom into fighting with him in a battle against Moab. So Jehoram is a slick customer. Of course, he's Ahab's son. And he talks the king of Edom, which he's like a cousin, remember. He's Esau's lineage. And Judah. We're all family. Let's go together. Remember, when somebody in the family does wrong, it doesn't mean you have to follow. Right is thicker than blood. Right is always thicker than blood. You do what's right because it's right, and it doesn't matter if anybody else follows you or not. Right is thicker than blood. And here's the proof. God is upset with him. He said, look, you don't go with that family. Stay away from that family. Well, you'll notice, I want you to notice if you would, see in the outline, they all said, okay, we'll go. They ended up in a place without water and feared they would die. Jehoram wondered if God was behind their troubles. So let's read it. Notice if you would, verse number 12. Jehoshaphat said, the Lord of the Lord is with him, speaking of Elisha. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So they go down to Elisha's house. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? In other words, he looks at Ahab's son and says, what have I got to do with you? You're wicked. You don't want to do what's right. You worship the golden calves in Bethel and Dan. You're not a Christian. You're not trying to do what's right. I know you're religious, but you're not spiritual. You're not doing right. Notice, if you would, get thee to the prophets of thy father. Why don't you go back to the prophets of Baal and to the prophets of thy mother, the prophets of Baal? And the king of Israel said unto him, no, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Look, we're in bad trouble. We need the God of heaven. We don't have any water. We're about to die. And Moab's going to attack and we got no chance. Verse 14. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 16. He said, thus saith the Lord. He prays about it, gets the answer. Make this valley full of ditches. So they went out and dug ditches in the valley. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, nor shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Notice verse 18. But this is a light thing in the sight of God. I know you look at this as a miracle. God doesn't. He can do anything. This water in a dry land is nothing to him. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. So he says, I'm going to see what God wants. And God says, look, I'm going to give you the victory, but not because you did right. Notice, if you would, D in the outline, Jehoshaphat called for a prophet of God, Elisha, to answer their question and help them. We read that. Notice E. God always wants us to have the right friends and run with godly people. So, one, Elisha rebuked Jehoram and Jehoshaphat in the same answer because they were partners in war. God says, what have I had to do with you? What are you doing here? And notice, two, Elisha asked God to help, and he filled the valley with water. They all drank and refreshed. God said it was a small thing, and he would deliver the Moabites into the hands of the three kings. God gave the victory. Now, God didn't have to do that. Sometimes God is good to us when we don't deserve it. As a matter of fact, that's the norm. God is good to us when we don't deserve it. And God is good to you when you don't deserve it. And he was to them, and he doesn't have to be. So what is it like when we do right? God delights in blessing us then. So you'll notice, if you would, in this passage, in verse number 18, and this is a light thing in the sight of the Lord. We look at things and, wow, look what God did. That's a miracle. And God says, that's nothing. If you do what's right, I can do far more than that. Now, let me give you three principles about right friends. I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 1:10. Proverbs 1:10. Notice, if you would, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Okay? So if they ask you to go do things with them, don't you do it. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to pick the right friends. I do not want you to run with people that don't do the right thing. Now, you'll notice with me, if you would, that he says, look, in Proverbs chapter 13, turn there if you would, verse number 20. Proverbs 13, 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Okay? So they must be saved. He says, I don't want you to run around with the wrong people. They have to decide. I'm going to give you four D's. They have to decide it on Christ. They must be saved. They must have decided on Christ. Don't run with sinners. But number two, go with people that have the right direction. They want to do what's right. They decided on Christ. They're saved. But that's not enough. There's a lot of Christians that do all kinds of wrong things. But they must take the next step and have the right direction. Lord, I want to please you. So if you're in a dorm room in college, if you're in work, if you're going to pick a friend, somebody you're going to talk with and share ideas and dream a little bit together about what you can accomplish, you better make sure they've decided on Christ and they have the right direction. Because the right direction causes them to say, well, I don't think I can lie. That wouldn't be right. That's the right direction. Number three, they have a devotion to God. They really do love the Lord. It's not just something that they say. They love the Lord. So if you love your wife, what do? You spend time with her. If you love your husband, you spend time with him. Anything that you love, you spend time with. So if you love the Lord you're devoted to the Lord, and you've made a devotion to him, you're at church faithfully. You have your devotions. You want to spend time with the Lord. There is a devotion to God among your friends. I remember growing up, I only had really three good friends. Jerry Harris, and I've told you about him. He was a great athlete, and he went off to college to play football and got away from the Lord and fell overboard in a boat at 20 years old and drowned. He's a great swimmer. It's like the Lord said, if you're not going to serve me, I'm not going to let you play football. If you're not going to put me first, I'm not going to put up with it. Jerry and I were good friends. Loved to play ball together. Good friends. I did not see that in him. It happened after you went to college. So the direction is not permanent. It might be you have a good direction now or you had a good direction last month, but your direction is chosen every day. You do what's right. You've got a good direction and a devotion to God. But then the fourth thing is you have a discipline enough to say no to the wrong things and yes to the right things. You have discipline. You want your friend to look at you and say, I don't think we ought to do that. I'm not doing that. A godly friend will help you stay in the right direction because they've chosen the right direction. But they got to have backbone to say, I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not going to do that. And then I had another friend named Travis Cumbus. He, a missionary in Germany for 20 years, pastor for another 15, 20 years. I pray for Travis every day. We would do things together. I took him to my grandparents' house. We would pray together. I remember laying on my grandparents' cellar, and I took Jerry and I think Travis, and we'd lay on that cellar and dream up, look and say, what do you think you'd like to do with your life? Jerry, I want to serve the Lord. Travis, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what's right. I want to please the Lord. Maybe I could be a preacher. I don't know. If the Lord calls me, I'll do it. Jerry, the same way. And so I'm laying there. You know, I'm the same way, guys. I want to do what's right, too. And if the Lord calls me to preach, I'm going to do it. And so we dreamed together. We had the same direction, the same devotion, and the same discipline at that point in time. We wouldn't date a girl if she wasn't going to do what's right. Travis married Christy, godly lady. Served the Lord together many years. And then there was a third guy, and that was Morris Gleiser. Now, Morris Gleiser, his father had passed away. He didn't have a father after a young boy. When he got into high school, a girl came to him. They went to public school, and he kind of fell for this girl, but we all could tell she wasn't good for him. And we said, Morris, she's not good for you. Her name was Debbie York. And she's saved, but she's got the directions not correct. And he didn't date her long, said okay. And she ended up marrying a guy that went to prison. They divorced, wrecked her life. That would have been Morris's life. But he, because of his direction, because of his friends, because his purpose, his desire to do what's right, God spared his life. Then he met Lynn at college. You meet them, they're two happy people. They've been married 45 years. All I'm trying to say to you is that I remember those three friends. Jerry's in heaven because he chose not to do right. Travis and Morris, both still serving the Lord. Travis is a professor in a Bible college in Texas. And Morris travels, as you know, preaches all over. Those are my three friends in high school that I really treasured. And a friend that's going the right direction, you can treasure for all your life. But they have to have decided on Christ, have to be saved. They have to have the right direction in life. I want to put the Lord first. They have to be devoted to the Lord. I do love the Lord. That's why I want to come to church. I mean, I had all kinds of friends, a youth group of 100 and something, but not everybody wanted to come to church. Their parents made them. So I didn't make them my friends. I was friendly toward them. Hey, Ronnie, how you doing? Hey, Bobby, how y'all doing? Hey, Steve, how you doing? You know, it's good to see you guys. And there were lots of girls, but I'm not dating them. And so that's why when I found Susan, she had decided on Christ. She had the right direction. She loved the Lord. And she'd say no. And she'd say yes to the right things. So I said, that's somebody I'd like to be friends with. And then we fell in love with each other. And it was like, wow, she encouraged me and I encouraged her. It's a great team effort for 43 years. Those four things are required. Jehoshaphat said, we're all, you know, sons of and grandsons of Abraham. We got to stick together. No, you're a son of Ahab and Jezebel. You don't want to serve the Lord. Yeah, but we're blood brothers. That don't matter. Right? It's thicker than blood. So you'll notice, if you would, in this passage, in your outline here, Roman numeral 3, we must learn to do right and let God bring joy and victory and provision. Abraham found out that God was powerful. We can read that and turn, if you would, to Genesis 18, if you would. Genesis 18. Verse number 14, you'll notice. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Remember, he said, look, I don't have any children, and you know, I don't know what to do. And God says, look, is anything too hard for me? You'll notice in verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I have shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? God says, I can do anything. Abraham learned that. Jehoshaphat had to learn, look, God can do anything. That's the reason he made the fields, the ditches, and filled them with water and says, that's a light thing. It's nothing for me to do that. Now, you'll notice not only that, Moses saw God's power. If you have your Bible, turn to Numbers. Notice, if you would, Numbers chapter 11. Notice, if you would, verse number 20. Verse number 19. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out your nostrils. God's angry with Israel because they're whining, because they're tired of manna, and they want meat. And Moses said in verse 21, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. That's 600,000 soldiers, plus women and children. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. This is Moses, the man of God that stood with God and looked, talked to him face to face as a man would his friend. Verse 22, shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Lord, do you realize what you promised? Meat for a month? Are we going to slay all the herds? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? In verse 23, you might want to underline it. The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Lord, is there anything too hard for me? And Moses saw the quail come up and said, oh my, where did they come from? So you and I need to learn to trust the Lord and not the wrong friends. We need to learn to pick the right friends. They will help us do what's right. Notice in the outline, see, we will see God do miracles in our own lives if we talk to Him and trust Him. If we'll just take our time and do the right things and trust the Lord, we'll see miracles too. But we've got to learn to trust Him. You'll notice, if you would, back over in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 20, and it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. They were dying, this is 2 Kings 3:20, they were dying of thirst, and the three kings pleaded out to the Lord and said, Lord, would you help us? It's amazing to me that Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom and Jehoram pled out to the Lord and not to the other two kings' God. You know why? They knew Jehoshaphat was trying to do the right thing. And people will ask you to pray for them when a hard time comes if they see you've decided on Christ, you've got a right direction, you've devoted to the Lord, and you're disciplined enough to say, I can't do that. I'm going to do this. You'll notice they'll respect you. But you have to learn to trust the Lord to see the miracles that they saw here. Notice, if you would, D in the outline, the Moabites were defeated because the Lord gave them victory. And E, big things to us are little things to God. We must learn to obey Him, and He will bless us. Tonight, let's learn to trust the Lord. Pick your friends wisely. God will bless you if you do. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, tonight, as we learn the lesson from that Jehoshaphat didn't learn the first three times, Lord, help us not to learn the hard way. Give us wisdom. A wise man runneth with wise men, but a companion of fools should be destroyed. Lord, help us to pick the right kind of friends. Lord, teach us to recognize in people godliness and ungodliness and to have the courage to work with the godly. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.